I think this is the first time I've ever done a sermon where I got somebody else to do the music, which is kind of awesome. So, good morning. It's so good to see you all here. Mind the Gap is the name of my sermon, and the subtitle is If You Want to Be Happy. You don't have to mind the gap if you don't want to be happy. But Rumi, 13th century Muslim scholar, mystic, poet, who, by the way, in spite of everything we might think, is the most popular poet in America today, sells the most books. He says, let the beauty we love be what we do. Dale Carnegie says, the way to be is to do. And Lao Tzu says, the way to do is to be. And Frank Sinatra says, doobie-doobie-doo. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. So we're talking about happiness. The Dalai Lama says, it's not something ready-made. It comes from your own actions. And here's where we're going to talk about the gap. Gandhi said that true happiness is when what you think, and I say believe, say and do are in alignment with each other. I really believe that, and so I believe that all unhappiness, all discomfort, all of that drifting outside the symphony that Sherry was talking about before is the gap in between what we really believe, what we think, what we say, and what we do. And so the key to happiness is to close that gap. And where the title came from, those of you, some of you may know exactly where it came from, and others of you may not. In England, every time you embark or disembark from any train, there is a recording that plays as before the doors open. Mind the gap. Mind the gap. Bob and I were there a few years ago, and I remember just, I was so delighted by it. I kept going, this is a metaphysical lesson every time we get on the train. And the gap in that case is between the train and the platform. There is a drop to the tracks 5 feet below. You want to mind that gap. And in the same way, we want to mind the gap between what we espouse, what we say we believe, what we do believe, what we think about, what we choose to put our thoughts on, what we put our words to, and what we put our actions to. Because that is the abyss. That's the gap that we can fall into if we're not careful. And it's tough. It's a tough thing. And I have achieved, I call this heaven. I have occasionally achieved the state of heaven on earth. And really, that's what I believe and what is taught in Unity, is that heaven and hell are not something that are going to happen later on, depending upon the balance of your good and bad works in between, but they are right now, today. You can be in hell in this very moment, easily. I know exactly what I'd need to think about to plunge myself into hell right now. So I'm not going to think about that. But I can also be in heaven. And in this moment, you know, this is my heaven, being able to share my spiritual truth and my experience with people that I love. So thank you for providing me with the opportunity. So hell is that opposite of peace, happiness, satisfaction. And what I call, I've had this name for it since I was a kid, I call it free-floating guilt. You ever just like start to fall asleep at night and it's like something doesn't feel right? And I don't even know what. It's not even something that I can recall that I've done, but this sort of sense of I'm not doing well enough. I'm screwing up somewhere. What I have learned over the years is that when I feel that feeling, the best question for me to ask myself is, where is the gap between how I've been living, how I've been speaking, how I've been acting, and what I believe? Because if I look close enough, there's a gap somewhere. So the gap between what we believe, what we espouse to believe, what thoughts we choose to hold, what thoughts we entertain. Okay, I love that. I love that expression, entertaining thoughts, because thoughts will come through. You can't stop them from coming through, but you don't have to make them tea. You can just go, oh, thank you very much. Keep going. So the thoughts we entertain, and then the words we use and the actions we take. And so in order to have my words and actions in alignment with my thoughts and beliefs, I first have to know what I believe. Very important. Personally, I get asked, do I believe in God? I do believe in God, but most people's idea of God is not what I believe in. I like to use that word because it works in a lot of really good songs, but to me, the word God, I automatically translate that into love. When I cannot believe in anything else, when a God of any kind, law, principle, whatever, just can't make sense to me, let alone a personal God that I can talk to, I can substitute the word love. And I absolutely believe that love is the strongest power in the universe, that love is the only power that can overcome everything that is not love. And when I focus my attention on that, then it becomes really clear to me what my job is, which is to love, which is to cultivate that energy of love in every moment that I possibly can. And I forget. It's like the song said, I get lazy. I forget my obligations. So what we believe in unity is that God is the source and creator of all. Omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, good and present everywhere. So when I speak from fear, when I act from fear, when I think from a place of fear, oh no, we're going to you know where in a handbasket, then I am actually not in alignment with what I say I believe. And so what I need to do in that case is to bring myself back to what is it that I believe? Do I really believe it? If I suspect that maybe I don't really believe it, then I can use my thoughts and my words to convince myself that I really believe it. It's really cool how these all play into each other. The second unity principle is that we are spiritual beings created in God's image. The Spirit of God lives within each person. Therefore, all people are inherently good. Do you believe that? Trying to. That's an honest answer. Trying to. Sometimes it's hard when I look around. But if I say that's what I believe, then what I can do in order to close that gap is to act as if I believe that were true. Is to approach each person, each interchange, each relationship, and each thought. When I open up Facebook, when my husband turns on the TV, because I don't turn on the TV, I know better. But when my husband turns on the TV, I can immediately think, yes, I believe in the spirit of good. I believe that that good lives within every person. I believe that. I believe that. And I love the fact, you know, what Ellen was talking about a couple of weeks ago with the God in My Head book, is that idea that we are here to experience, and Neil Donald Walsh says basically the same thing, we are God experiencing God's self in the world. And we have chosen to experience all of it. We chose to leave the Garden of Eden so that we could experience all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and believe that the truth of it is the good. We're just playing out this other stuff to see what it feels like. And in that case, I can believe. If I can believe that, then I can believe all is truly well, even if it's not going according to Melinda's plan. And that's really the thing. It's not that I know that the world is going to hell. It's that what the world is doing is not according to my plan. God didn't check in with me first, apparently. But if I believe that God is love, then we are here fulfilling, regardless of what it looks like, we're fulfilling the plan of love. So whatever thinking you have to do to get yourself in alignment with the belief that you espouse, I encourage you to do it. Same thing, in the third principles, we create our experiences through our way of thinking. We do. We create our experiences. Now, I would not say that you create everything that happens to you, because there are 7 billion, approximately, other people creating at the same time and in the same space as your human body is right now. And so, you know, our creative thoughts are bound to run into each other. So I might not be able to create what happens to me or happens around me, but I can create my experience of it. I can choose whether I believe that we're destined for some horrible end. I can choose to believe that other people are bad and I and my friends are obviously better and good. I can choose that, or I can choose to believe that love is all there is and act accordingly. See, the thing is, it doesn't really matter what I think if I act accordingly. If I just make acting from love my default, then I don't have to worry about the finer points of my spiritual beliefs. A lot of times, though, I have to use those finer points of my spiritual beliefs to talk myself into acting right. We believe in affirmative prayer, and we believe that what that does is increase our awareness of God. So once again, the gap there is when I'm on my agenda. I know what Melinda wants to do, and this is, you know, the rest of the world just isn't getting with the program. I'm not praying, I'm not living in order to change the mind of God. I am praying in order to put my mind in alignment with the mind of God, which I choose to believe is love. Whatever works for you is great. Love works great for me. So the fifth principle is knowledge is not enough and we must live it. We must put feet on our prayers. And so that's very much the gap, is that, you know, I believe all these, but I don't have to do anything about it, do I? No. Fifth principle says, yes, you absolutely do have to act on all of these beliefs if you want to be happy. If I believe we are energy, which I also believe, that love is an energy and we are created of that energy in the image and likeness of love, then everything I do matters. Everything I do matters. And yet, can you hold this paradox? Nothing I do is that important. I am one tiny speck on a speck on a speck on a dot of this vast universe. And the good news about that is, it doesn't mean I'm insignificant, but it means that I of myself can't screw the whole thing up. If I think I can, that's just as much ego as thinking I can fix the whole thing, right? So everything I do matters, and it's okay if I don't do it all right. I love that. Anybody feel relieved by that? So that's the good news. Okay, lost myself in my notes. I should start talking. Okay, so I want to talk about now, with that idea that we can't screw it up too badly, the difference between responsibility and blame. We are here to accept responsibility for our beliefs, our thoughts, our words, our actions in this world. And everyone is here to accept responsibility for those. When it gets kind of gummed up is when we confuse that with blame, when we have to say whose fault it is that it's not going according to our plan. Well, since we don't know the whole plan, we don't know. I'm assuming that it is going according to plan and that I'm just in a really uncomfortable part of the plan right now. And I have to choose where I react, how I react to this discomfort in the plan that seems to be going on around me. And we are responsible for what energies we summon, what energies we entertain, exude, attract, choose to combine with, the energies we express, and how that plays out in the world around us, because we don't live by ourselves. Our choices do affect others. And so it is the highest spiritual calling to accept responsibility for what we're here to do, to be love in the world, without blaming ourselves or anyone else for the times that we're not showing up as perfect love. I think that's part of the human experience, is that if we were all created perfect, what would there be to do? You know, it could be pretty boring. We're on a journey here, and there are hills, and there are valleys, and there are, you know, stickers and cactuses, and there are wisteria blooms that infuse us with amazing beauty. There's all of it, all of it. So we accept responsibility for what is ours to do, for who is ours to be. And then we don't have to cast blame on ourselves. And I have learned that when I stop casting blame on myself, I'm much less likely to cast blame on you. When I judge myself with love, then I can judge others with a mind of love as well. So this is, to me, sort of the chicken or the egg, this whole gap thing. And I think it can be either. If I'm not acting from the beliefs that I espouse, maybe I need to consciously change my words and my actions to match that belief. And that takes awareness and it takes discipline. And it takes practice, practice, practice. But if that doesn't seem to be working, maybe I need to change my belief. Maybe I espouse believing that there's only love in the universe, but underneath that, what I really believe is that there is good and there is bad, and there are some people who are out to get me, and there are some people who are on my side, and there are some days that are wonderful, and there are some days that suck. These are all my judgments. So maybe I need to work on changing my belief. Maybe I don't really believe in love. And when I don't, what I can do about that is change my thought. When I catch myself having a thought that is not love, when I catch myself having a thought of that person is wrong and bad and is doing everything wrong, the whole world is going down, then I can change my thought and saying that person, just like me, is doing his or her best to navigate through this world of difficulty. And perhaps I can have some compassion because we are so, just by being in this room, we are so blessed and lucky that we know that we even entertain the possibility that this world is created in love. And to love, it returns. And love is what it plays out every day. Most people don't even pretend to know that. They don't even know that that's a possibility to begin to think or believe. And how lucky are we that we have that? And then it's easier to look with compassion upon people who simply don't have the same tools. They're on a different place in their journey. You know, you might think you're on the speed train, and maybe you are, and maybe somebody else has just got a pick and shovel and is, you know, digging a hole. We don't know. But to assume that they are wrong and that we are right is unhelpful. I mean, and really, if it doesn't work in life, if it's impractical, why do it? Regardless of what, you know, spiritual ideas around it. Because I'm telling you, to live your life as if no one is against you, there's nothing to defend, and that you are created in love, and you are acting out a play that was written by love, and that is being acted by love, but we're all cast in different roles here. We're all cast in different roles to make an interesting play, so we know we've been somewhere when we get to the end of it. So, I'm preaching. So when we act as if, we behave our way into right thinking. And that, I sometimes think I have to fix my mind in order to start changing my behavior. And sometimes the truth is, if I just change my behavior, if I just change the word and I change the action, then my thoughts will begin to line up behind that. I encourage you to try it. I encourage you to try it. If changing your beliefs doesn't work, maybe changing your action will help to change your beliefs. So I like this, that our board decided a few years ago, apparently, to tithe 10% not from what actually comes in, but to tithe 10% from what we hope and expect to come in. And my understanding is, and this makes perfect spiritual sense to me, is that the church has been in the black ever since. And that is a spiritual principle, not just that we're giving back, but that we're, to me, tithing, and I'm just going to use this as an example for a minute, because it's a quantifiable thing. A tithe isn't about giving your money to someone who needs your money. A tithe is about, in a very, very visceral, practical, physical way, saying, okay, God, I trust you to take care of me. I don't have to hold on to today's manna because I trust that there will be new manna tomorrow. And to activity tithe, to act as if what I want to believe is true. You make that connection. I don't know if that might have been a long way around. But if I start to act as if what I want to believe is true, not act as if what I believe is true necessarily, but what do I want to believe? What would be a perfect world? And how can I act from a place as if I were believing that? And I believe that I will come to believe it, and I believe that those beliefs will play out into the world, because that's the nature of the universe. This is how it happens. So what does that mean? Sometimes it means turn the other cheek. For me, it often means shut your mouth, Melinda. Sometimes the best I can do is just to be quiet. Sometimes it means walk away. Let someone else have the last word. What does it cost you? Behave as if all were truly well. You know, Jesus the Christ said, there's really only two commandments, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. I believe the only way to love God is to love your neighbor as yourself. God as a concept is hard to get your arms around, but you can get your arms around people. God as a law, or even God as a God, if you believe in a real personal God, is not going to be affected by the words that I use. God doesn't need my praise. God doesn't need me to say, you are worthy. Some of those songs just drive me crazy. You are worthy. Well, duh. I know that. What I need to know is that I am worthy, right? God is God with skin on. And the kinder I am to myself and to everyone else, that's the way I show my kindness to God. That's the way I show the worth. The golden rule. I ask myself this question, what would love do in this situation? Because I'm pretty sure I know what Melinda's finna do. And it might not be good. So I want to just close with saying, you know, Mother Teresa at one point was asked by a reporter who said, you know, there's no way, here you are in Calcutta with millions of starving, sick people, you can't fix this problem. How can what you do matter to this whole macrocosm of illness and poverty? And what she said was, it matters to this person. It matters to the person whose forehead I am bathing in this moment. It matters to the child I am feeding in this moment. And that's the way we all get fed, one at a time. Our lives are made of moments, simple words and actions. And when taken together, they weave a day. And when we weave our days together, they become our lives. So every gesture is a seed. Everything we do, think, everything we do is planting a seed. What is it that we hope will be harvested, or we can expect to be harvested from the seeds that we are choosing to plant today? So mind the gap. I'm going to take these thoughts into meditation. I'm actually going to sing a song to lead us into it that is a song written from some words of Mother Teresa. So I would like you all to just take that moment to go to your meditation place, to take a deep breath. To let go of all that free-floating guilt. To let go of thoughts of being anywhere except right here. All your troubles, all your worries, just put them under your chair right now. You can feel free to pick them up when you go or not.
Let every action of mine be something beautiful for God. Let every action of mine be something beautiful for God. Peace and love, peace and
is, peace is not what we look around for. Peace is what we dig within to find. It's our choice whether we find peace in the simplest act of love. Peace is not just about no war. And if peace is about everybody agreeing with me, I will never have peace. So in this moment, I can choose to live a peaceful life. When I see something that feels like not love, I can respond with love. When I hear words of hate, I can speak words of love. And hating hate is not love. Holding fast to the love that I am is love. And when I hold fast in my thoughts to the love and the peace that I am, that I know I am, depth from my source, when I choose to speak and act from that place, the option of peace and love is always there for me, regardless of who says what, regardless of what came on the news. And if I open Facebook and it makes me angry, and it makes me want to respond tit for tat with words of hate for haters, I can either choose to respond with words of love, or I can choose to get off Facebook. This is not about finding a way to be saintly in the world. It's about a way to find true peace, because from that place of peace, and only from that place of peace, can we share peace with the world. So breathe into that peaceful place with me right now. And breathe out some love into the world. Breathe in peace. And when I see pain around me, I can choose to breathe in that pain and breathe out love. I can breathe in fear and breathe out acceptance. When I feel the gap, and I think it's between what I want and what I've got, maybe I can remind myself that the gap is between who I want to be and who I'm showing up as. And so I get to take responsibility for this day, for this moment, for my word and my action in this one moment, and in the next moment, and the next moment, and a day of moments like that is a day of peace. And when I have a day of peace, I can wake up tomorrow morning with peaceful consciousness, which makes it easier to take responsibility for my own inner peace, which can add up to a bunch of moments of peace and love and service. It's up to me. That's really unity in a phrase. It's up to me. I get to choose.
Let every action of mine be something beautiful for God. Let every action of mine be something beautiful for God. Peace and love, peace and love in the simplest service. Peace and love, peace and love in the simplest service. Can you sing that with me? Peace and love in the simplest service. Peace and love.